Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my special guest today is Tom Allison, who our audience will recognize as Pre from Sci-Fi Channel's and Space Channel's Killjoys. And I have been delighted by the character of Pre ever since he first popped up on the screen flirting with Johnny when getting a drink.
Well, you know, a boy's gotta live.
Oh my goodness. And it seemed like Pre was only going to be this, you know, the bartender, the sidekick support. But no. There's literally the second best storyline is the evolution of Pre. He's a bartender. Oh. No, he's a warlord. No, he's just an overall badass who maintains his chill at all times. So
it was a bit of a surprise to me too.
Oh my goodness! So I have to ask, how did you come across getting the part of Pre, and did you have any input into this glorious transformation?
It happened when my agent called. I was doing a play, a musical, and my agent called and said, the casting director, Jason Knight, who is an old friend of mine, I've known him for many years, worked with him before, he had called the agency and said, listen, I've got this part for Tom. And I'm always skeptical. It's like, you know, until it's on paper and everything's been signed, there's no part for Tom. Like, you know, it's like, oh, okay. I'm like, sure. But I went in and I read and I got a call back to come in the next week, and I sort of heard, they said they'd decide soon because they were shooting rather quickly, and I was waiting a couple of days, nothing happened. I thought, oh, I guess nothing's happening. And suddenly on the Friday, you know, sort of a 5 days later, I got a call from my agent saying, so you have the offer, they're trying to work out the details, there's one more executive has to say okay. And within a 3-hour period, we got the okay, we got the full offer, we negotiated, and the deal was done. It was one of those things that was so fast, and I was shooting in a week and a half.
Wow.
And so, it was kind of wild. And they had all kinds of different ideas for what Pre was going to be. And when it was me, they sort of rethought some things. And then the designer, who had a whole different thing in her mind of where they were going to go, what they told her, who was amazing, Trisha Baker, I mean, as you all know, had been the designer from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
She is one of my favorite people in the world. Her and Craig, Ryan French, who was our makeup person, for the third and fourth and fifth season. He was there at the beginning as an assistant, but then took over in the third season. Those two have been everything. And Donna, who is Trisha's assistant, was amazing. And we came in and we said, so we're scrapping all of our ideas. We're going to create something on you. And so they didn't know what they were going to do physically for Pre, costume-wise. We had our first session in costume was 5 hours long.
Oh, my goodness.
And they were literally draping things on me going, what about this? Okay, take this shirt, give it to the cutter, have her cut the sleeves off of that, and cut the V into the neck. Great. Get it back to us. Great. So wrap this around you there, and then try these shoes on. Now, jewelry, let's try this. Literally trying things, tying things up, putting stitches in things, trying stuff. Like, okay, that's a good start. Can you come back tomorrow? I came back the next day and we had another 4-hour session. So 9 hours to create. And that's what started the first looks you saw. And we realized sarongs were a gold mine. And the rest is history. It just sort of developed after that, in terms of costume wise. In terms of character, you know what? Lucky. Whatever I was doing, I guess, people liked it. And they liked me. And, you know, TV, especially sci-fi, is very... as I'm realizing, it's in the moment. If they like characters or the audience goes, yes, 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 the character stays around or it expands. People just, I guess, liked Pre, and all of a sudden, I literally opened the script and was as surprised as everyone else to find, oh, Warlord, wow. Okay. Like, I didn't know until I got the script like a week and a half before we started shooting. I went, oh, so you're Warlord. We're making you a white wig. I was like, okay, great. And there he was. It was, I just thought, well, I guess the chemistry was right. And they were like, more Pre. And he became more complicated in this fabulous, fantastic past. And, you know, and he's got big, beefy boys he's with. And then, you know, and it kept evolving. And Garrett was another evolution that literally happened in season 2. Because that scene, we had chemistry. And Michelle went, What if suddenly season three, there he was?
Wow. So how much of these ideas did you just take and run with, or did you bring them any ideas like, hey, what about this?
Some flavors I brought, like some sensibilities. All of the pet names with me. Sweetie, Cupcake, Honey, Ginger. Like, they would write Honey. Everything was always Honey. They would just write a generic Honey because it became clear that I would just throw in a different thing. You know, Sweet Cheeks, or whatever it was. So that became me, and then they started to write it. But a third, sort of fourth season, they were writing fun things for me to call people because they really picked up on that. But the rest of it was really, like, our team, as you see, they're so creative. I couldn't think fast enough to actually come up with stuff. They would have stuff throwing at us that we would never imagine. And what was wild was, because it wasn't, again, they had sort of different ideas about Pri before they found me. And so we were kind of running with this thing that we didn't really have a real background. Like, Pri suddenly changed, but there was no time to create a background. So I sort of folded that as an actor into the character. So however he was written, like, it's funny, in season two in particular, all the different writers had a different way of writing Pri. It was all suddenly, because no one could quite, there wasn't a real Bible for Pri, right? So they had this kind of, he's this. So I thought, okay, what if I just let him be the chameleon? And we really played that with the makeup. So whatever mood he was in that episode, that's what he was. That's what he looked like. That's how he acted. And it kind of created a character out of that. And then by season three, that became this great, Pri could do anything. And we're all like, great, sure. He's an aquatic diver for marine pearls. Great, yes, totally. He's now a zookeeper in the new planet of Zonkadonk. Oh, you're great, yes, okay. You know, and I can get away with wearing anything. I can get away with saying anything. Nothing surprised everyone anymore. I was like, great. As Johnny called him, he is a cave of wonders.
And it is so true. And I have to believe a lot of that comes from you and your personality, because I don't know if everybody picked up on it. I hope they do. But ever since, you know, even first season with Alvin, there's like a family vibe with everybody. Right. The chemistry is just so delightful and aww, inclusive and immersive. And I've told people this since season one. Killjoys is my new Firefly. And
that's what people said, yeah. I've never seen it, but people have said that's the show that it seems like.
Yes. Killjoys got the 5 years that Firefly never had a chance to get. And I am here to that. You know, I am here for this show. The show has been a favorite of mine since, I'm going to say, about 15 minutes into the first episode.
it took a while, is what you're saying.
Oh, a little bit. Had to grow on me.
You know, I have to say, they were so lucky because, I mean, they searched for Dutch forever. Like, they did this really exhaustive search of Canada and the States, and there's something they wanted that they couldn't find. And then, of course, in comes Hannah John Kamen, goddess of all things. And honestly, just the most extraordinary. And she was like 20-something. Like, she was really young when we started. She's young now. But you know what I mean? Like, she was like 24 or something. It was ridiculous. She was this young person, but with this crazy immense talent. But her and Aaron and Luke, they literally just had the chemistry from day one. They all got along beautifully. Like, Luke and Hannah are best friends now. You know, and of course, Aaron's close with both of them. But they clicked, and you could feel that as the core. It was like, well, we have gold. Unless we screw it up, we have gold. You could feel that they had magic. And we all just got along. There was no divas. Everyone met and got along instantly. It was great to be on set with anyone in the cast. I could do a scene with Morgan as Albus. I could do a scene with, you know, like Sean Beck. It all just felt easy, and we found these relationships. And, you know, I just made the decision. Pri was like the mother bear who will slap your ass when you need it. And I thought, if I can just give them that, then there's the place to call home, which was the bar, right? So everyone was welcome, and through Pri and through each other, just it kept folding the real energy into the show energy, and it just seemed to work. You could feel from the beginning that, you know, we have this, nothing else. We have this great family feeling, and we were so happy that happened because, you know, that's not always the case.
Yeah, and even the recurring characters who aren't regulars come in with this energy and this fire that you can't take your eyes off of them. Like you said, Sean as Fancy was delightful, and Rob Stewart as Klein. Oh my God!
Oh my God!
That's
electric. Electric and sexy as hell. Like just like all the things you want: the power, the command, but the ease, the skill. It's so relaxed, but you feel this fabulous coiled snake inside it. He's awesome.
I think if like Rob Stewart and Jeff Goldblum stood beside each other, the world would just like collapse on it in on itself in a puddle. Just
that's amazing. That is too much chemistry. That is charisma.
Yes.
Too much charisma for yes. one room. That's too much.
Yes. The world would just have to stop and reboot itself to recover.
another big bang. We need something to get this going again.
Yep.
And the thing is, he is like the nicest, easiest going guy in person. He's so relaxed. Like, hey, oh, tall, big hug. Like a big teddy bear. You're going, oh my God, how are you that good? And then so nice. Come on. How dare you?
So what for you has been the most, I guess, rewarding about how the fans have totally embraced Pri?
Oh my God. I mean, not to be generic, but everything. Like, you know, like you create a character. This is my first, series, like this is like a reality series or the judge on a TV show, you know, for a contest thing. But my first series where I was a regular. And you hope that you make a character that makes sense. You hope that people enjoy it enough. You hope you don't die. Every season you're like, I hope I don't die. People are dying. But the way the fans have taken Pri in has been kind of overwhelming. It's the affection for him and the acceptance of a character that is so, in so many ways, what we would call other. And then, but with such confidence. And it's rewarded by the fact that the fans go, yes, yes to the inclusion, yes to the world vision, yes to the vision of the future. It's so full of yeses for Pri. And I don't take credit for all of that because the team, like, the writing is extraordinary. I just have to say the words. Trisha Baker and Donna Butt, who were like, you know, costume geniuses, Craig, and then incredible 3, 4, and 5 seasons of makeup that has been outrageous and genius. And storytelling, like the team was so extraordinary. It was mine to fuck up, dare I say. Right? Like,
yes.
Like if I screwed up, that'd be me because they were all giving genius. So it's that. It's the yeses that came at Pri. All of his, the more fabulous he was, the more people, I'm like gay people, straight people, they're all like, this character's awesome. It makes me a little teary, you know? Like we're in a world right now where things are scary. People are angry and saying and doing things that are heartbreaking to human beings, you know, and humanity is sort of, it has a bit of peril feel to everything. So it's amazing to see people coming together for this TV show, but it's opening people's hearts in a cool way and their minds in a cool way. And that is thrilling. That it's such an honor to be part of the show and to play this character who represents so much stuff that people are saying yes to.
Yeah, it's been... I've seen some of the fans reacting to Killjoy stuff online, the live tweeting when they're just every wardrobe change. I've seen them go, oh, here's something new, here's something new. And
yeah,
the,
right.
The comments on the makeup are just hilarious. And
that
you can only get that sort of interaction with true love, a real connection to those fans, and you have brung it, sir.
Oh, that is so kind. I can't tell you. Thank you so much. Thanks. It's been great. I mean, I've had amazing help, right? Like the team is kind of fantastic, and it's been lovely to sort of luxuriate in Pri's fabulousness. You know what I mean? Like it's like okay. And it's like, we're thinking this, so we're going to be covered in jewels, and you're going to be wearing a sash and a thing. And I'm like, great. And then you're going to shoot people. Fantastic. That's great. You know, like it's just, we're going to put you in a fiery outfit looking like a phoenix out of the fire and then stab someone's hand. Okay. We're great. Where do we start? You know, like it's pretty amazing. And that even, those lovely details that people pick up on, you know, I think there's one person who actually got the literal, that scene where I stab Garrett's hand at the end of season two, because we got the bar back, we literally dressed him as a phoenix. He's in this kind of like orange and red, like sort of with this flaming shirt and this red and orange eye makeup. Like he was a phoenix rising from the ashes. And he stabs this guy in the hand. Like, it's like, where do you get to do that shit? Come on. It's so awesome. Living my own revenge fantasies on people. It's amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It's pretty fun. You know, so your job description is you're going to look fabulous and do funny, violent things to people and then kiss people. Okay, great. Sign me up. Fantastic.
Awesome. So how many conventions have you gone to so far?
Not many so far. Probably I've been busy. I've been asked some I couldn't do. But I've been 1, 2, 3 maybe so far only.
That's it?
And a couple that I was invited. Yeah, a couple I was invited to when I couldn't make it, which broke my heart. But, like, I'm game. Like, if people want, like, I love our fans. They're so enthusiastic when I meet them. I would go to anyone that I can make it to, barring other jobs, like, in a second. But, yeah, that's all I've actually been to. I think 3, maybe 4, but I think 3. And then a couple that were invited where I couldn't make it.
Oh, well hopefully, you know, this being the final season of Killjoys, you'll get to bask in the fandom of this show lasting like another 10 years. And we'll get you out there to meet the fans whose lives have been impacted by your performances.
Oh my God. I would love that. Honestly, like I've met some of the kindest, most generous, loving, smart, funny, enthusiastic people from this show in our fandom. It's been quite incredible.
Now, you personally are a very well-rounded, talented performer as well. You sing and you direct. Talk about the singing. How did you get into theater and just blow people away like that?
It's funny. Growing up, I mean, I sang a little bit the way we all kind of, you know, sing a little bit, sort of. But my goal was to be a classical actor. I wanted to do Shakespeare and Ibsen and Chekhov. And I went to, I got into Ryerson Theatre School, auditioned, and got into Ryerson, which is up in Toronto. It's Toronto. I got in and went there. I met the singing teacher named Peggy Redmond, who has become a very dear friend. She taught me how to understand singing through the text, you know, how you tell story and you do exercises to open the voice up and be available, how the voice will follow you. And I was like, okay, great. But I think because I didn't have a preconceived notion of someone I wanted to sound like, I just found my own sound and people were interested. But I left theater school and I went to the Stratford Festival here in Canada, which is now the biggest rep company in the world. I was in a young company for a year. I had an offer to go back, but I got an offer at the same time to do the original Canadian company of Miss Saigon. Wow. I was like, you're going to pay me to sing? Really? Like, okay. And that began 10 years where I didn't do a straight play. I did musicals for 10 years thinking, I'm a fraud. They don't know I'm not really a singer. but it took off and I realized how much I loved it. And over time, I really embraced that and sort of became my real bread and butter. But, you know, because of that, I can do concert work. And, you know, I realize I'm a show pony. What I mean by that is, like, I get hired for the great big roles, the big sing. You know, the big, you know, someone showy who's not afraid to make big choices you can see from space. That's me. I'm in there. I'll give you a subtle, but, like, if you want, like the MC in Cabaret or Daddy Warbucks, I'm like, yep, I'm on it. I'm in it. And so it's been great. And I went back, I did some straight plays, too, and I go back and forth. But that began this whole world of singing for me and how much I love telling story and song. I love what music, I mean, we all love what music can do. It's so moving, but you add this great narrative story and then a bigger picture and then there's a dance number, you know, and it's very exciting. And theater has been my first love. I started out in theater, obviously, and if you're a theater kid, you always have that passion for the live experience because it's so much in our control. You know, once the director goes, it's just us doing the show. So we feel every night in the moment how the audience is moving with us. We can bring them on a ride. We can change the ride up a little bit. know, in film, it's sort of you do it in this bubble and you wait weeks and weeks and months and go, I hope people like it. I have no sense of this, you know. So it's a very different experience with the audience for sure. But I loved it. And then directing just came. I used to direct at theater school, like some extracurricular things. And it was where I saw myself going, but then my career took off. I was very lucky. I hit some big stuff early. So my resume got padded really well with great stuff. So I got into all the good rooms and got good chance to good parts and, you know, kept going. But at a certain point, I started thinking, I want to tell a bigger story, not just the story of my character. I want to go back to telling that bigger story, you know, the whole show. I want to be in charge of the whole show and my point of view and the kind of specific work that I like to do on my parts. I want to do that with a bigger piece. And so I put it out there and the universe went, okay. And just threw me stuff instantly. I had the two shows lined up to do within 2 weeks of each other. And that's been great. It's been a really lovely experience and I want to do more of that.
Now, do you ever get a chance to play music or write music, or is just singing what's on the page your wheelhouse?
No, I'm an interpreter. Yeah, I'm a storyteller. Although I've done some writing, I've done cabarets of my own where I'll write spoken parts of the cabaret and put it together and tell that bigger story. But I haven't written music or lyrics. Haven't tried. Never thought about it. Really, you know, you never know. I'm really into new things, you know, right now. Like that's, there's been some life things in my personal life that have changed my worldview a little bit in terms of I feel freer, I feel more impulse to become all of the things I can be, not just the couple that I think I know how to do, you know, and I've got this new sense of yes to everything. Like, yes, let me try that, let me try this, or information coming at me, or, you know, I just found this new massage therapist who's very sort of like energy connected. And then she put me onto a Reiki person, like all over the place. A lot of yeses to open up everything around me. I want to see what else I can do. What else is possible? I think I've got a writer in me that I've written bits and pieces, but I haven't really sat down to write a piece, a play or a book or, I don't know, a script for something. So I feel there's that sort of thing in my future.
Nice. So since, unfortunately for us fans, this is the final season of Killjoys, what are you looking toward doing next?
Good question. I don't know. I mean, I've got some things doing. I'm doing another TV show here in Canada called Your All-Time Classic Hit Parade. And it's sort of a throwback to those hit parade shows of the 40s and 50s where they do sort of songs of the day. But not by the artist, but like, you know, a group of people. So there's six of us singers, and then we sing songs from like anywhere from the turn of the century up to the 60s kind of thing. It's like a half hour show. We've been doing that for 2 years. We're shooting the third season in September. So like, you know, like a bit more of TV stuff, but I've got a couple of plays I'm doing that I can't actually talk about yet because they're not announced, the cast, but I've got things in the fall that are coming up. I'm directing a show probably next summer. Like, you know, there's, again, a bunch of everything. Some singing, some acting, some, you know, directing, maybe some writing in there. And then we'll see. Maybe there's another TV show in the future. Who knows? I'm open to everything.
Awesome. Well, we are looking forward to seeing what adventure you take on next, because just what you brought to Pre has been so just inspiring to watch and fun at the same time. So where can your fans and those who will become your fans find you online?
Well, glad you asked. I've got my website, which is www.tomallison.com, and that will have like what's coming up. I've got my blog there. If you want, they can subscribe to my blog, so whenever I put something on there, they can see that. Also, of course, Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's just TomAllison.com. Maybe with like, I think there's an underscore between Tom and Allison. But, you know, TomAllison.com. And Instagram is another version of TomAllison.com. You'll find me. I'm a media whore. So it'll be easy to put my name into those places and go, oh, there he is. There's a picture. It's some version of Tom Allison, maybe with an underscore or just the name. So you'll find me for sure. Yeah, and please, like interact. I mean, as you can see online, I love meeting people and knowing people who are interested in what we're doing. That's just fun, and you know, so hit me up. I will do my best to respond and say hi.
Awesome. So we will include links to that, to all of those locations, so people can find you. Tom, great. It's been a delight talking with you today.
Oh, thanks, Summer. This has been awesome. Thank you for asking me.
No problem. And we will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
Welcome to Tales of the Black Badge, a Wynonna Earp fan podcast. WynonnaEarpPodcast.com. Thanks again for checking in, and I hope you all take care.
I told that devil to take you back.
Tales of the Black Badge, presented by Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV.
Hi, I'm Aaron Ashmore from Sci-Fi's Killjoys, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
We only have 2 more episodes of Killjoys, and I don't know what to do with myself. Maybe I'll watch more Expanse this winter. Who knows? Maybe there's a new show coming along that will catch my heart and my eye. I don't know. We'll see. But all good things come to an end, and Killjoys is a very good thing. You should check it out if you can. Like I said, season 5 is on Sci-Fi Channel right now. Got 2 more episodes left, and it's been a fun ride. I would have preferred to have interviewed more of the cast during the past 5 seasons, but such is life. Probably going to do a fall preview of the new shows that are coming up, the shows that are coming back. I have to find all of them. Because there's a show coming on, I think it's ABC, called Emergence. I have not heard a single thing about this, except for commercials I've seen previewing it on TV. It seems to be a little like a midnight special type show, or something cross between, I'm going to say, the Witch Mountain movies or Starman. But the feel of it, the feel of the trailer anyway, reminds me of Midnight Special. So we shall see what television brings us this fall. We've also got the 40th anniversary of Star Trek The Motion Picture coming up, and we've got a little special discussion set up for that. Stay tuned. So, if you have any Killjoys questions or Star Trek questions, feel free. The number is 602-635-6976, or you can shoot me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi through Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, and Player FM. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, please leave us a review. Reviews help raise our profile on those platforms so other people can find the show easier. So thank you for that. You can follow us on Twitter @SliceOfSciFi. And yes, I do tweet with all the fans. And I live tweet some of the shows that I truly love. You can follow us on YouTube and on Facebook. We're Slice of Sci-Fi there. And of course, there is the website, sliceofscifi.com. Come on by, leave a comment, leave an opinion, leave a rating on a review that we have done that you might decide, hey, that needs to bump up a little bit, or maybe bump down a little bit too. I'd like to thank everyone who is helping support the show. The lights are kept on here by your generous donations, your support through Patreon and PayPal. If you would like to add your support, head on over to patreon.com/sliceofscifi and pick a level, enjoy a perk. They do come around. It's the beginning of September, so another perk should be heading out soon. Or if you just want to donate every now and then, use the paypal.me/scifisummer link. And like I said, everyone's donations help keep things running around here. So again, thank you all very much, all of you who are supporting, and to all of you who may start supporting in the future. I'd like to also send my heartfelt thanks out to the geek rock band Sci-Fried for their contributions here. They have provided the theme music you hear on the show, so thank you guys. If you want to hear more geek-flavored rock and roll by them, the place to go is Sci-Fried.com. Or check out their music videos over on YouTube. Just search for Sci-Fried and you will be entertained. I guarantee it. But that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.